it sits well with them at all. I really don't think it does. And that's the part that I really have a hard time wrapping my mind around. It amazes me, and I'm going to talk about this in the next segment, because this just gave me an idea, and it's going to be a legitimate topic of discussion. So I'm going to take a break now, but when we return, why on earth is this ownership group so disliked in Boston as compared to the ownership group with among the four other teams, among the three other teams in this town? I want you to think about this. Think about it. The lines are open. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Coming up next, why is the Red Sox ownership as despised as they are in this town as compared to the other teams? I'm going to talk about that, plus your phone calls on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tough Sweet Farm Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio. Glad you're able to join in on this Tuesday morning. Pardon me, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your day. Special shout out to my buddy Sam down in Florida for the call. And I mean, this topic is definitely something that's not going to be going away anytime soon, as far as the Red Sox are going to be concerned. And one of my good friends, Lou, he had commented saying that that this ownership group is so far out of touch with the fan bases that it's not even funny. And I couldn't agree more. And we're gonna spend this segment talking about why. And I do mean, why is it that the Boston Red Sox ownership group seems to be completely out of wax when it comes to being connected with the fan base? Now, for those not in New England, allow me to briefly explain this. You see, here we have four teams. You got the Patriots, you have the Red Sox, you have the Bruins, and you have the Celtics. All in which they have won at least one championship since the turn of the new millennium. At least one, and they played in at least one other championship series in their respective leagues. All four teams. So, as you know by now, that this is a pretty successful, the most successful sports city in the United States in the 21st century, hands down. Yet, if you were to take a deeper look, and this is for those who live here in New England, if you were to, for example, take a deeper look into the four teams, the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins, and you look at the ownership groups between the four teams, you could say that all four ownership groups seem to operate a bit differently. Now, let me start with the Patriots. Case in point, Robert Kraft. The number one thing you can say about Robert Kraft is, every year, year in and year out, he has helped build the New England Patriots as to what they are now versus what they were when he took over as owner in 1994. That's a fact. And yes, it coincides with when Belichick arrived in January of 2000, 20 years ago now, and Tom Brady being drafted by the New England Patriots in April of 2000 in the NFL draft. All of that fell into place. And even with all of the scandals and all of the turmoil that's gone on, they still pressed on and they've still managed to win. Bruins. At the start of the millennium, this was a franchise that was just going nowhere. They were going nowhere. And even with Charlie Jacobs or Jeremy Jacobs, they weren't going nowhere fast. They didn't have a whole lot going for them. And it's a fact. You remember those early 2000 Bruin teams? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, we got to go back to the days when Joe Thornton was here. You got to go back to when Joe Thornton was traded. You got to go back to when Tim Thomas first arrived on the scene. And this is like 2002. Like, you gotta go way, way back. But in terms of the ownership, this is an ownership that they didn't want to spend money at all. for high-priced free agents to improve the ball club, or the hockey club, I should say, because we're talking about the Bruins. But that changed, obviously, when they signed Zdeno Chara in the summer of 2006. And then, obviously, we all know what happened, the Stanley Cup, and then the three Stanley Cup Finals appearances since 2011. So the Bruins ownership group, although they're not without fault, but they're pretty in touch with the Bruins, with the Bruins fan base in large part. Although, again, I emphasize the fact that not without fault. They're not without fault, but in large part they are. Celtics, same can be said. The same can be said in terms of Mike Grosbeck, Danny Ainge, in large part, in touch with the Celtics fan base. But when you look at the Boston Red Sox, four World Series championships since 2004. Four. 2004, 2007, 2013, 2018. Four. Yet for some reason, the ownership group for the Boston Red Sox seemingly are very despised. Why? Why? Like, why are they so despised? The phone lines are open. I'm taking phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. This ownership group is so despised that it led me to wonder, where has the Boston Red Sox ownership gone so wrong? Where have they gone so wrong? I feel like there's a number of multitude of answers to give, but if there's one thing that I want to point out is that the trade of Mookie Betts exposed a lot of things in terms of how bad they've had it in terms of relationship between fan base and ownership. It's the truth. It's the God honest truth. And the part that disturbs me is that for a franchise not named the New England Patriots and as successful as they have been, man, this offseason for the Boston Red Sox has unearthed a lot of fractures between the ownership and the fan base. The fracture in relationship. Ownership, believe in the 2020 Red Sox. We're still going to be competitive, although we traded away our best player. Come to Fenway in April. Our home opener is April 2nd against the White Sox. Yeah. Somehow, someway, they don't understand that when you trade away your marquee player of your franchise for collectively, I'm going to call them a bag of peanuts, or should I say up for a whole case of overpriced Fenway beer, you expect them to respect the ownership group? Oh, that's comical. That's absolutely comical. Like, it's like, I'm going to give you an actual example. It's like if the New England Patriots were to trade away Tom Brady in his prime. No, I want you to seriously imagine this for a moment. Imagine if Robert Kraft came out and said, let's say 2007. We got to come out and we're going to trade Tom Brady because we had to do what was best to get under the salary tax. I'm sorry, what? Can you imagine that scenario? And I know for those who are listening right now are probably thinking, wait, what? Yeah, my point exactly. Or can you imagine the Boston Bruins saying, you know, we're going to trade Patrice Bergeron because we need to get under the salary cap. I'm sorry. Excuse me? And even saying that, I felt someone as if someone just punched me in the gut. I'm serious. I really felt as if someone punched me in the gut just by the mere fact that I even used it as an example. But that's exactly the truth. That's the truth. The Red Sox training Mookie Betts is like, not only was it, I wouldn't even say that it was unfathomable, but it was along the lines of, wow. You basically refused to say that you couldn't afford to pay him because you have two really bad ill-advised contracts, and somehow, some way, you want ownership and you want the fan base to buy into that. Okay. Gotcha. We must be stupid. Okay. You think we're stupid. That's what it is. Okay. Understand that when your pockets begin to feel the dip in ticket sales at the box office at Jersey Street, formerly Yawkey Way, that's when you'll understand. That's when you'll understand. I'll understand it when it comes April and Fenway Park on a cold, dreary Boston day, early April, that ballpark's not filled. It's not sold out. Oh, that's my problem? Oh, okay. Nope. So, I really want you to think about this. The ownership group didn't care to pay for its premier talent. So why should Red Sox fans care to invest in this into this team? Now, I want to make something very abundantly clear on that very point here. I'm serious. I want to make this very clear that I respect the Boston Red Sox fan base immensely. I really do. And I'm going to tell you why. I want to share with you a quick story real quick. In August 2015, I went to my first ever game at Fenway. True story. I went to my first ever game at Fenway in August 2015. I'll never forget this. It was against the eventual World Series champion Kansas City Royals. It was a Friday night game. I was here in Boston at the time. I was visiting. This is before I made the move here 3 years ago. And Red Sox fans, I don't think I need to remind you just how horrible that 2015 season was. Do I? I don't think I do. No. Okay. But as horrible as that team was that year, but what blew me away was this. They were in last place, but that ballpark was sold out. I couldn't believe it. I'm serious. I'll never forget looking around Fenway as I'm sitting in the bleacher seats at Fenway Park, my first ever game at Fenway. August 2015, the Red Sox, dead last in the American League East, out of playoff contention, nothing to play for, ballpark filled, every seat filled. I'm not exaggerating this. And that was the moment that I said, you know what? I respect you. I respect the hell out of you. Because it takes dedication and loyalty to show up and support a team that was in last place at that time to still sell out the ballpark every night. And yet that loyalty is being disrespected with a move like this. And yes, it's being disrespected with a move like this. Thinking that there wasn't going to be as fervent of a backlash as there has been in Boston in quite some time. It's a slap in the face to the true diehards and generations of Red Sox fans all over New England. I understand. I really understand. And with this type of trade and the way that it's gone down, I understand even more so now, more than ever, why this ownership group is as despised as there is any other ownership group in Boston, New England. I understand. I get it now. Shame on the Boston Red Sox for not having any type of idea as to how they were going to fix this type of mess. I don't know how you could have botched this one as badly as you did. I don't know. But I do know this. The Red Sox ownership group, be prepared for what's coming next. Coming up next, can the Boston Red Sox remain competitive in 2020? It's a very fair question, and it's a legitimate question that needs to be asked. Can they contain in 2020? I'm going to give you my take and my answer, plus your phone calls, as always, at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. This is the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio.
Buscando, pensando, encontrando una forma de estar contigo un par de horas. No es que quiera hacerte mi señora y no te preocupes, luego vemos si funciona. Tú pasas, te miro y te ves muy bien. Eres la más sexy, lo sabes. Dame ese cuerpito de una vez. Vamos a divertirnos que esta noche va a pasarla bien. Es que no aguanto las ganas de hacerte mía. Si te canso la monotonía, yo te daré todo lo que no te da. Dime, dime, dime si tú quieres andar conmigo. No tiene caso que sea tu amigo. Y si no quieres, solo dame un rato, baby, pero sin ningún contrato. Y dime, dime, dime si tú quieres andar conmigo. De todo, todo quiero hacer contigo. Y si no quieres, solo dame un rato, baby, pero sin ningún descanso. Seamos amigos. No sé si crees en coincidencia. Dime rápido que se me acaba la paciencia. Hagamos el amor y deja atrás esa inocencia. Vivamos la aventura que no tiene mucha ciencia, bebé. Tú me tocas, yo te toco y la pasamos muy bien. Si nos gustan unos días nos volvemos a ver. A la misma hora y en el mismo lugar. Tú y yo solito, mami, hasta el amanecer, ¿ok? Dime, dime, dime si tú quieres andar conmigo. No tiene caso que sea tu amigo. Y si no quieres, solo dame un rato, baby, pero sin ningún contrato. Y dime, dime, dime si tú quieres andar conmigo. De todo, todo quiero hacer contigo. Y si no quieres, solo dame un rato, baby, pero sin ningún descanso.
quieres andar conmigo.
Dime, si te quieres venir con el cuerpo.
No te importa, no me importa que seamos amigos.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio. We're going to pause for a few moments to talk about, well, not talk about, but play PSA. Got to do the PSA. It's part of the station policy. And it's brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. So stay tuned. PSA coming up in just a flash.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This station ID coming up is brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
This is Steven Pinker, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, pure pleasure technology, Tufts freeform and educational radio.
Leave your kids behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Glad you're able to join us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your day. As I know many of you are either just getting to work or just getting your day started or just getting into your cars, you know, drive, make your way to work or whatever. Definitely always appreciated as well for whoever is able to tune in and making this show part of your day. We're going to talk about the Red Sox this during this segment. And in the final segment, I'll offer my thoughts on what's been going on in terms of the Astros cheating scandal and some of the comments that have come out that has gotten me thinking this is not something that the boss or that's going to go away any time soon. Coming up after my show, I do know that, for example, that Russian hour is coming up next at 8 a.m. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. So we're going to continue with discussion for the Boston Red Sox. Now, the question I had posed before I went on break was, do you think the Red Sox will, in fact, be competitive in 2020? I think it's a fair question to ask, especially Red Sox fans who are probably wondering, well, I think this team they'll still be competitive, or I think that this team will still be able to contend. But do you honestly believe that this team will be good enough to compete in the American League this year? I'm taking phone calls, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I definitely want to offer you like some of my thoughts and so forth. And one of the things that I want to point out is is that the Red Sox, although there's no Mookie Betts, he's gone. David Price, he's gone. How will the Red Sox contend, or will they be able to contend in the American League East in 2020? Here's a concern that I have. Now, I was watching TV last night. I was watching NBC Sports Boston, and one of the things that I came across in hearing and listening to them talking about the Red Sox in 2020 was, if you are a Red Sox fan, do you think that this team will contend? And I thought it was, you know, this is an interesting topic, because you do have people who still believe that this team can still be good. But here's my reason why I think the Red Sox will not contend for the American League East in 2020. Maybe if the cards fall right, they may contend for a wild card, but I'll talk about that a little later on in this segment. Number one, pitching. Pitching. Reason number two, pitching. Reason number three, pitching. I don't know any other way to really put this, but pitching is going to be the reason why they don't contend. They have too many question marks. They have too many question marks in the rotation and in the bullpen, in which that I find it to be absolutely important to point out. And I can't believe the fact that their ownership group think that they still can be good enough to contend. I just don't see it. Of course they're gonna come out and say that they believe it. What else are they supposed to sell to the fan base? But I've been a long believer, and actions speak louder than words. It really does. And I gotta tell you, I'm not necessarily most convinced that the Boston Red Sox will be good enough to contend. Now, I'll tell you this. Right now, it's still early. But I gotta tell you, if it all goes well, maybe, and I do mean just maybe, they may have a shot. But this is what the rotation looks like as of right now. As of right now, this is what it looks like. Chris Sale, Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi, and Martin Perez. And who knows who's going to be your fifth starter. Allow me to explain. Chris Sale, I've said it time again and time again and time again. You don't know what you're going to get at the guy in terms of health. That's the key. Health. Can he pitch a full season? Healthy. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he has yet to have done that since putting on the Red Sox uniform. He made 25 starts. He pitched less than 150 innings last season. Yet, he struck out 218 batters. Listen, the fact of the matter is this. For a guy who's turning 31 next month, you know what you have in terms of, this is a guy that's going to strike out batters and so forth. No questions asked and so forth. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is this. He's only pitched more than 200 innings in a Red Sox uniform once. Only once. And that was, what, 2017? Where he pitched 214 innings. You know, he went 17-8, 2.90 ERA. He pitched 214 innings, as mentioned, and he has struck out 308 batters. That was it. But after that, 2018, 158, 2019, 147. And then the injury that he had last season that ended his season, I'm not necessarily convinced that he's going to get back to that form that he was in 2017. Because my thing is this. Yes, in 2018, he made 27 starts, but he was not healthy down the stretch. He wasn't. And it showed. 2019, same thing. 25 starts, wasn't healthy. So, that's my concern for Chris Sale. Not his ability to get batters out, his health. Because we've seen, we have too many chunks of sample size to go with and say, oh, by the way, I don't trust Chris Sale and his ability to stay healthy. I wouldn't either. I would actually be very concerned. Eduardo Rodriguez. Okay, now, this is the case where this is I find this to be really interesting. Eduardo Rodriguez is the guy who last season, let's face it, let's call it for what it is. It was his coming out party last season. Had a career year, who won 19 games, went 19-6, 3.81 earned run average. Started 34 games, pitched 200 innings, struck out 213 batters. He pitched 203 innings, 203 in the third innings, to be exact. So, with that being said, you don't know what you're going to get. Well, what do you mean? That was 1 year. That was 1 year where he showed you that he could elevate his performance and so forth. And here's the thing. 2018, he was 13-5 for the World Champion Sox. He pitched 129 and two-thirds innings. So, to me, when I look at Eduardo Rodriguez, he's gotten better over the last, what, two, three seasons? He has. I'll give him that. But am I really ready to be fully convinced that he can step up even more this year, considering no more David Price and your back end of your starting rotation is a question mark? So I'm not convinced. I'm not so sure whether if you're going to get the same Eduardo Rodriguez this season as you got last season, where last season, frankly, he was your most reliable starter. That remains to be seen whether if he can duplicate the same success he had last season, this season. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Now, Nathan Eovaldi. One of the big mistakes the Red Sox made in giving him the money that they gave him. And of course, they were slave to the moment. They were absolutely enslaved by the moment of what he did in Game 3 of the 2018 World Series. A performance that will forever live on in Red Sox World Series lore. And even October baseball lore, for that fact of the matter. It will. I give him credit. Now 30 years old. And I gotta tell you, for a guy who he's always had the high power fastball, nasty breaking stuff, never a doubt in my mind. But the harsh reality is this. He's never been able to stay healthy. Never. Never, never, never. And what was the last season that he was able to make more than 30 starts? Anybody want to tell me? That was 2014. I'm serious. 2014 was the last year that he was able to make more than 30 starts in a season. 33 starts to be exact. And the last year that he was able to make at least 27 starts in a season, 2015, when he was with the New York Yankees, 14-3. 4.20 ERA. Miami Marlins in 2014, 33 starts. His win-loss record, 6-14, 4.37. But in terms of his ability to stay healthy, that's been the story of Nathan Eovaldi's career. Literally, that's been his story. Can't stay healthy. So, your top three pitchers in your rotation is this. Two guys who can't stay healthy, and Sale and Eovaldi. And then the third guy, Eduardo Rodriguez, you don't know what you're going to get after the career year that he had last year. Can he duplicate that same success? That's a big if. So those three things, right there. Who knows what you'll get from Martin Perez? Who knows? Only time will tell, and frankly, we'll just have to wait and see. But offensively, losing Mookie Betts hurts. There's no way around it. Now I can get an argument from me on that one. Offensively, they should be fine. JD Martinez. And then you still got Jackie Bradley Jr., who, frankly, I expect him to hit maybe 200 this season. Andrew Benintendi still left. Bogarts, Rafael Devers. That's going to be a key case of a curiosity for me right there. I think the offense is really going to come down to the shoulders of three men in this Red Sox lineup. Bogarts, Devers, and as well as JD Martinez. Those three. So that remains to be seen as to how much can Rafael Devers duplicate the success that he had last season when he had arguably the best season of his career so far in his young career. 23 years old now. In a season in which that he hit .311. 32 home runs and 115 runs batted in. So that question is going to be, can he duplicate that success or can he continue that success into this season? That's going to be the point of curiosity for me. Again, unknown at this point. When you talk about one of the best young players in the game, that's it. I give credit where it's due when it comes to Rafael Devers. But my question is, okay, can he now turn that into consistency year in and year out? We'll find out this season. But as for Bogarts, you got exactly what you thought you were going to get out of him last season. 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs, and a .300 batting average and higher. .309 to be exact. 33 home runs, 117 runs batted in. So you got a guy in which that you know, at the shortstop position, the premier position in the infield, the offensive production that you can get out of Bogarts. There's no question in my mind about that. So I'm intrigued by how much more of a leader that Bogarts can become and so forth. Now, as I said, I'm not concerned about the offense. The offense is the least of my concern. Again, although the loss of Mookie Betts will impact this lineup, no question. But what Devers, if Devers can continue the way that he has grown as an offensive player, in a way that he's able to continue to evolve, there's very little to believe that he won't be successful. JD Martinez has been the main cog in the middle of the Red Sox lineup. And I think this year, he really is going to continue to really evolve as a hitter and as an offensive player, especially now as he enters a season in which he'll be 33 years old in August. On August 21st, to be exact. So that remains to be seen as to, is he going to be able to continue to hit for power as he progresses towards his mid-30s? 36 home runs, 105 runs batted in, and 304 average last season. And then we all know 2018, the monster year that he had, batting 330, 43 home runs, 130 runs batted in, and so forth. We know about the power numbers he's put up. We know. So it's going to be even more imperative for him to continue to be an offensive force in the middle of the Red Sox lineup. So I just don't think the Red Sox will still be contending in the AL East in 2020, but I do think they can be good enough for a wild card spot, and that's a big if. And it depends on the rotation. I didn't even talk about the bullpen. I mean, for right now your closer is Brandon Workman. And let's say that Matt Barnes is your eighth inning guy. But you know, other than that, it's really a bunch of unknowns. And of course Ryan Brazier as well. But it's really a bunch of unknowns. You don't know who's your seventh. Well, your seventh inning guy may be Brazier. Okay, fair enough. Matt Barnes, that he may be your eighth inning guy. Brandon Workman may be your closer. But frankly, you don't have a bona fide closer. And what was my number one criticism of the Boston Red Sox last season? Anybody? Didn't have a bona fide closer. Yes, Workman was a guy who had, 16 saves last season. I get that. Fair enough. Fine. However, I just don't think that Workman is going to be able to continue the same success that he's had last season. Now, 2018, that was a whole different story and a different role, because in 2018 you didn't really have a closer. They were very cavalier about like the back end of their bullpen, although they won the World Series, but it came back to bite them in the rear end last year. You don't know what you're going to get. And frankly, closers are very fickle, and there are very few closers that you know that you can depend on year in and year out. I know not everybody is Mariano Rivera. I get that. I really, really, really do. I get it. But the fact of the matter is, the bullpen, question mark, rotation, question mark. Offense for the Red Sox, I'm not as concerned about. But the rotation in the bullpen is what concerns me. And that's why I don't think that the Red Sox will be contending for the division. They might, and I'm going to say this emphatically one last time, they might be good enough to contend for a wild card, but not for the division. That's just the honest truth. Coming up next, I want to take a quick break. And offer you my final thoughts in regards to the comments made by Mike Trout and Justin Turner in regards to the Astros cheating scandal. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Shookri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Yo quiero acabar todos esos besos que te quiero dar. A mí no me importa que duermas con él, porque sé que sueñas con poderme ver. Mujer, ¿qué vas a hacer? Decídete pa' ver si te quedas o te vas. Si no, no me busques más. Si te vas, yo también me voy. Si me das, yo también te doy. Yo te haré acabar ese sufrimiento que te hace llorar. A mí no me importa que vivas con él, porque sé que mueres con poderme ver. Mujer, ¿qué vas a hacer? Decídete pa' ver si te quedas o te vas. Si no, no me busques más. Si te vas, yo también me voy. Quiero acabar ese sufrimiento que te hace llorar.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. Here with you for another few more minutes before it's time to sign off. I definitely wanted to share with you some of my final thoughts, and it has to do with what Mike Trout said, and as well as Justin Turner. And there's been a lot of backlash and a lot of anger that has come from the Astros cheating scandal, and rightfully so, no question about it. And I gotta tell you, the players who have been most outspoken about it, for example, Trevor Bauer, Cody Bellinger, now Justin Turner, and Mike Trout has even spoken out about it. And for Mike Trout to even speak about this tells me an awful lot about how badly Commissioner Robert Manfred has really mishandled this whole situation. And that this is not going to go away on its own. This is not going to go away anytime soon. And it doesn't matter. And I don't think that the players themselves give a rip about how severe the punishment would be if the players were to throw at an Astros player. They're not going to care. And I got to tell you, for Commissioner Manfred to really drop the ball on this one, I'm looking at him in a very different light right now. And that different light entails, I really think that you are incompetent. You are an incompetent commissioner. You are absolutely god awful. How do you explain to the players that the Astros, oh, by the way, public humiliation is more than enough of a punishment. Oh. So they don't lose their World Series title? Oh, it's just a piece of metal. Excuse me? Wow. That same piece of metal that has been handed to World Series winners for how many years now? That signifies the championship won by a Major League team? Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Fair enough. So, with all that being said, I'm amazed that players have shown the same amount of visceral that the fans have shown. I agree with Justin Turner. You know, there was an article that was written in New York, just quickly, in the New York Daily News, where basically Mike Trout and Justin Turner ripped the Houston Astros. So Justin Turner said, quote, For him to devalue it the way he did yesterday just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it. Wow. Whew. Talk about coming out with smoking guns? Yeah. Like, and the fact that Manfred defended his choice not to strip away the Astros title, saying that he's not going to take away a piece of metal, is just insulting. It's insulting to the players themselves who compete so hard for an opportunity to hoist the World Series trophy in October. It's disrespectful all the way around. And it really is. And it's just so, it's so tough. It's so tough for me as a baseball fan to even remotely just, wow. The next time I'm on the air, I'm going to get furthermore into what was said by Justin Turner and Mike Trout. And I want to thank all of you for those who listened in to the Sugar Rice Show this morning on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Russian Hour is coming up next, at least according to the schedule. Follow me on Twitter just quickly, at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. You follow me on Instagram at SWRIGHTS radio _. That's the way you can follow me. Keep in touch with me on social media. And I thank everybody who listened in. Thanks to the caller who called in to talk about the Red Sox and so forth. Much appreciated, as always. Thank you, everybody. Russian Hour is coming up next, so stay tuned for that. This is Shukri Writes. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch free from radio. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody, and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace out.